The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC, joins me. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
We're having a diversion from American yes. politics for a little while. Now, there are three things we want to talk about. It looks like the RSA is to be split.
Yeah, it looks like government are going ahead with that decision. They've been signalling it for a while. I'm unconvinced. I don't think this is really a good idea. What they're saying they're doing is they're carving off the operational aspects, so conducting the NCT, the driving test, the licence admin. That's going to be one agency, and a separate agency will look after road safety research and promotion. Recommended by a consultant's report, in my opinion, a poor idea, a poor structure.
But why? Because, I mean, the nuts and bolts of licensing and testing seems to me to be one element of the whole, and the idea of kind of encouraging people to drive more carefully, and it seems to be a completely different activity. Well, you know, they're related because it's about road manners and so on, and road the fitness of vehicles for the road, but really they're separate kind of endeavours.
Well, the old structure that we had used to have something called the National Safety Council, which had exactly that role. It got, you know, money from government to spend promoting road safety.
And it could be judged on its efforts.
It could be judged on its efforts, but it was also completely disconnected from all the other areas of government. And the reality check, you know, the real politics of this, if you have no money, you have no power. The National Safety Council was, you know, its budget got pared here and there. It flew back and forth depending on the political winds. It wound up literally depending on the crumbs from the table.
And you think this will be what will happen again?
Well, for the National Safety Council, the insurance industry wound up supporting it. I mean, it was their cash money that was being spent on ads. It was toothless and it became fairly pointless. And that was addressed by creating the RSA, which for 20 years did a really, really good job. I mean, a very effective job. Now, I think they have gone off, you know, their balanced scorecard for the last couple of years has been poor, as indeed have the road safety stats. But I'm not convinced this is the fix. Mm. The fundamental problem they identified is that they're not making enough money from NCTs and car tests to fund what they do on road safety promotion. Now, you don't fix that by changing the letterhead. You have to either fix that by upping the fees or providing more government money.
You wonder, given our roads infrastructure, we've, you know, a motorway network, but we've an awful lot of minor roads.
We do.
Which need to be fixed, and there are accident black spots and so on. You wonder, though, what is, if you know the way they say 4% unemployment is zero unemployment.
De facto,
right?
Yeah.
De facto. What is, if you like, zero road deaths or zero, what is the real figure? Unavoidable figure. I mean, someone is going to have a heart attack at the wheel. We know that.
Well, there was
someone's going to fall out as a pedestrian drunk on the road. That's definitely going to happen.
Yeah. Notwithstanding those kind of statistical near certainties, as you say, the vision is Vision Zero, which is, you know, sounds a little bit aspirational. But to answer your question, if we can remove those human errors, if we can, you know, carry out those, we used to have 20 years ago, we had 450 road deaths a year. You know, now we regard 150 as a disastrous year. So it's amazing what can be achieved. I think we still...
What is achievable is what I'm saying.
Well, if you look at the stuff that can be drilled out, like speeding, phone use and failure to wear seatbelts are massively the three biggest penalty points earners. If you didn't worry about e-bikes and details and you just tackled those, I mean, if you want a definitive answer, I would say the preventables, you could probably drop the existing target maybe down to a sort of 20, 30 deaths per year. That would be the sort of pure fluke that you're talking about. But I mean, ultimately, we want to get to zero. I mean, how many airline deaths are there per year? How many rail deaths are there per year? We want to reach a world where car deaths are the same. And, you know,
no, but if you were to take the heart attack on the aircraft, that does happen.
Yeah.
So people die in aircraft every year.
Yeah, that's true. And people will die in cars too. Yeah. And there'll be mysteries that you just don't solve. I mean, if a lone vehicle late at night hits a tree, ultimately you may never fully establish what the true circumstances
were. Now, one way of addressing the phone use and seatbelt use is spies, cameras.
Well, a spy is a bit dramatic. It's election season, so there's a whiff in the air, a lot of kites being floated by government and others. But this is actually a good idea, and the proposal is that we will make more use of cameras and that we'll attach AI and smarter cameras so that not only will they detect speeding, they'll also be able to detect failure to wear a seatbelt, phone use, or perhaps dangerous driving. Now, they've done that in a couple of other places, including the UK, so we could do some good stuff with it here. For example, the UK have some smart cams attached to AI that can see if you're wearing a seatbelt or not. And they'll pick out all the photos of drivers without seatbelts, okay, flag them to a guard or a British cop, who can then decide, OK, that does look right to me, I'll send the prosecutor.
OK, it's not to nab them and then prosecute them based on those images. It's alerting a police force to detain them or stop them and check whether or not they are, in fact, using their phone.
So if you have 130,000 vehicles on the M50 every day, clearly no team of guards is going to comb through the photographs saying Pat's wearing a seatbelt, Connor's not. But AI can do so rapidly and can flag up the anomalies to the guards, who can then say, OK, that's unambiguous, we can prosecute there.
Now, what is this about a green flash number plate for your zero emission vehicle?
Yeah, green flash. Well, if you're familiar with the Euro, the blue Euro European flash on one side of the number plate, the proposal is from 1st of July next year, there'll be a green similar flash on the right hand side or on the other side of the number plate if your car is zero emission.
To what end?
Well, now, there's a good question. Eamon Ryan thinks it'll be great for people to sort of, you know, badge and take pride in the fact that they're zero emission. He thinks that companies might feel incentivised to do it. It all feels... Now, there are a couple of other countries that do this. They do it in the UK for the last few years.
See, I can understand, for example, if they're giving you access to the bus lanes or if they're giving you free tolls.
Yes.
And the green plate is therefore a badge that you're not cheating.
Mm.
Other than that, I can't see the point of it.
No, there doesn't seem to be a proactive point in it. It's one of those ideas that, you know, will do no harm at all, but you struggle to see if it'll do any good. And in the meantime, the stuff that could do good, like greater tax incentives for electric vehicles, restoring the toll discount on the M50, which has proved actually quite a significant obstacle. They used to get a perk, they don't get it anymore. Things like that actually have a much more active effect on electric vehicle sales.
What has been the problem with Eamon Ryan in that regard? Was it that he's so anti-car fundamentally, even though he has to get into one from time to time, that any incentive for a motor vehicle, be it powered by petrol or diesel or by electricity, is anathema to him?
I don't know if I'd personalise that to Eamon Ryan, but it does seem to be there's a cohort of opinion out there that is like, just simplistically says, if it's a car, it's bad. And, you know, if you make that a zero emission car, they'll say, well, I don't like it because it's an SUV. And if you make it a small zero emission car, they'll say, well, I don't like it because congestion. And if you address the congestion issue, they say, oh, I don't like it because it's too heavy. And if you address that issue, they say, well, I don't like it because you have to manufacture it. And you kind of think, come on, look, you've started with your conclusion and gone from there to look for evidence. And that, I think, probably devalues the sort of the general climate conversation, and there's a bit too much of it about.
Conor Faulkner, transport commentator, consultant to the RIAC. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.